The Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Find a Sky Talk pack to suit you with inclusive calls to UK mobiles. Search Sky Talk.
Hello, I'm Paul Anthony, back with another Planet Rock podcast with Sky Talk. We got loads of great rock-based banter for you, plus some amazing archive interviews, including Queen's Brian May. So coming up in today's podcast... Yes, that's a terrible yodeling impression from Hairy Biker Dave. He only does one of those, though, I promise. Plus, Alice Cooper realises that if life expectancy in the USA is 78, then he only has
10 years left. Wow. I plan on going much further than that.
I caught up with Blackstone Cherry before they performed at the Rambly Man Fair.
This is the first festival we've actually truly headlined.
Thunder's Danny Bose explains how the memories of bringing home our favourite records stay with us forever. You can even remember...
what was going on with the weather, everything. It's bizarre, isn't it? How you can kind of just capture that moment.
And finally, Carmine Appice talks about his dislike for early Beatles records and only changed his mind about them after Revolver.
Up until then, yeah, they were like a pop idol band. They sucked.
But first, kicking off this podcast, it's Brian May from rock royalty Queen. He began by explaining the pressures of getting together to tour with the rest of the band again.
Stepping back into that sort of battleground, internal battleground, you know, is not that easy for me. Because I'm used to getting my own way, I suppose. And Roger and I always see things completely differently. We're like brothers, you know. There's a certain amount of love there, but there's a certain amount of hatred as well. Not hatred, but, you know, we pull in opposite directions the whole time, which is partly the strength of Queen, I suppose. But to step back into that arena can be quite hard, and for him as well as me. We don't have John anymore, you know, because he's opted out. You know, he's quite reclusive, really, and we respect that. We don't have Freddie. So, you know, here we are. And I think there's always a big question mark, you know. A lot of people think, oh, we shouldn't be trying to be Queen, you know, whatever. But, you know, it's in us. That's what we spent half our lives building. And the demand is there. People want to see Queen in some form, and we can give it. Someone like Adam Lambert comes along, formerly Paul Rodgers, you know, which was a great success. But Adam Lambert is, I suppose, a little bit more like Freddie in some ways. You know, he has that extraordinary sort of theatricality to him, which Freddie had as well. He doesn't copy Freddie in any sense whatsoever, which is great. I would hate to do it with a copyist. But Adam has an amazing range. He's one of the few singers in the world, male singers, who can handle all those vocals at their original pitch. And he's an entertainer. He's dangerous. And he's nice to be around. You know, this is so important. You've got to work with people that you like and feel comfortable with.
Planet Rock gets hairy.
The Hairy Bikers.
And the Hairy Rock Show.
On Planet Rock.
Working like a cowboy, the boss man. Whoa. Working for the company.
Whoa, yeah.
Betting on the dice I'm tossing.
Whoa.
I'm gonna have a fantasy.
Whoa, yeah.
Where am I gonna look? Tell me that love is blind. I really need a girl like an open book to read between the lines.
Loving it and loving.
Now, if Si was here at the moment, I love to throw questions at him that would throw him. And I would say to Kingy, Kingy, have you ever made love in an elevator? Have you ever done it in a lift? And you know what? He'd think about it, and I don't know what he'd come out with, really. But, you know, it'd have to be a big lift, wouldn't it, really? I mean, you see, this is where Si and I are different. He'd just go for it. Me, I'd worry about stopping at floors, and I'd worry so much it would spoil the experience. But, you know, Steve Talley would probably be all right in a lift, wouldn't he? Joe Perry would be all right in a lift. Oh, no, but not me. I just worry about, you know, pressing the alarm with my elbow. But anyway, as he's not here, he's on his holidays, we'll let him have a free play. He's not here in the studio, but he's here in our hearts. And his record is Good Feeling by Reef. For an email. This is from Claire Walker. The subject, Hairy Rock Show, Yorkshire Dales Food and Drink Festival yesterday. Well, it was a couple of weeks ago now, love, you're behind yourself. Anyway, love to hear from you, Claire. She said, hi both. Me and my significant other saw you at the 11:15 show at the Yorkshire Dales Festival and have not laughed so much in ages. You were both brilliant and we thoroughly enjoyed ourselves. Well, thank you, Clegg. To be honest, we really enjoyed ourselves too. Have you ever thought of going into the stand-up circuit? I can't think of any other food comedians. Well, actually, we've done two nationwide shows. The last one's about 3 years ago. And we played 96 nights all around Britain. Then we did one 2 years before that. And we talked about doing another one. And it's mostly kind of comedy and stand-up and madness. And, you know, at the food festivals, there is a lot of food involved. But we generally had such a good time then. We'd literally flown in from Tel Aviv the night before the festival. And we'd been filming for about 3 months. And just to get back on stage, meeting face-to-face people who watch our programmes, who get what we do, it was brilliant. And part of the fact, you know, you laughed as we laughed as well. I know we were on good form that day. We had such a good time. The food was great. The audience was great. It was brilliant. Well, we've talked about doing some more stage shows, but we've got to think of something we really want to do. I think we're getting there, maybe towards the end of the year, but I think we've all sorts of bad ideas. I remember, I don't know if anybody saw us on the last tour, we sold about 100,000 tickets. I think the escapology must go down. It was something that was said as a joke when jokes get out of hand. Every night, I was in Golami hot pants, fishnet stockings, I got out of a pair of handcuffs, 5 padlocks and 36 foot of chain. Now, that wouldn't go down at a food festival. It went down very well across Britain, apart from Watford Coliseum, when I got stuck. You weren't a generous crowd in Watford. It wasn't good. And I said to Kingy, have you got the key? And he just went, oh, yeah, dude, you're the escapologist. You know, it's like, it was really embarrassing. But yes, we do love our comedy and fun and hey-ho, but thank you, Claire. I'm glad you enjoyed it. It was a brilliant food festival. I think it's one of the best. It was the first one. And we might not have about to do with it, but if it's on next year, I can recommend it. Twisted Sister, I Wanna Rock. You know, years ago, I used to work as a makeup artist at the BBC, and Twisted Sister were on Top of the Pops. And I was there, on Top of the Pops, in the makeup department. Now, they did make themselves up, and as you can imagine, it was quite a mission, the state of them. But one of my jobs was to hide behind the drum kit with a plant spray full of blood, and mist them with blood. So there you go. That's how my rock and roll life started with Twisted Sister. I'm going to play Hocus Pocus by Focus. The great Jan Akkerman, Focus, and they're still going, you know. They're a big Dutch export, like Gouda, but not as cheesy. But, you know, Hocus Pocus, I love the yodeling bit. Yodeling. Now, there's the thing. What me and Kingy do is, you know, very often, because we've got these comms in our helmets, if you've got a full-face crash helmet on and you're a motorcyclist, have a go at yodeling inside a full-face crash helmet. It's brilliant. You'll be surprised at how good you are because the yodel goes round your head. You don't have to be that good. It's like being in a box. It's brilliant. But I got into trouble with the BBC once. We were filming in the Atlas Mountains and Kingy had fallen off his bike and hurt his leg. And it was, we had this thing where we're skiing as well in the mountains. We're just the other side of Sahara, but the snow. So he couldn't move very much because his leg was in a splint. So I said, right, Kingy, you do the cooking. We're making harira, this Moroccan soup. I said, I'll just ski up and down, dressed as like Middle Earth character, yodeling. And you just kind of pretend that it's normal. I said, that way it'd be more interesting because you can't move. So Kingy's there dressed in like his you know, what do you call them, kaftans, and he's cooking the soup. Every so often I'd be going, yodley, hee-hoo, going down the mountain dressed in his hooded cloak. Anyway, I come to the bottom and Kingy says, nice yodeling, dude. Oh, yes, I said. I learnt to yodel off my Uncle Clifford. My Uncle Clifford was a magical yodeler. I said, he learnt to yodel when he was on disability after the Japanese put a hand grenade underneath his Bedford truck at the end of the war. Then one night, when he was down the United Club in Barrow-in-Furness, Uncle Clifford's shrapnel started to move and he dropped dead. Well, my Auntie Pat, she didn't know whether to blame the Japanese of the Swiss. I said, you know, I said, she gave up a Sonny Trinitron, but she never stopped eating Toblerone. But you know, it's funny, I had a memo from the BBC. Did you really have an Uncle Clifford? And I went, might have. Well, anyway, she can't lie. Anyway, I haven't got an Uncle Clifford, and he didn't yodel. So there.
Alice Cooper on Planet Rock.
Freaky Facts, it's time again for me to warp your mind with my Freaky Facts. Here we go. The average markup on movie popcorn is 1,275%. In other words, popcorn costs zero, probably 3 cents to make. And it's, what, $5? It's illegal to educate a dog in Connecticut. Because, you know, once you start educating them, they want to take over. Giraffes sleep only 1.9 hours a day in 5 to 10 minute sessions. Koalas, however, are the longest sleeping mammals, sleeping up to 22 hours a day. Lazy sloths are the same thing. You can't get a sloth to do anything. And finally tonight, the average life expectancy at birth for a Canadian is 81.16 years because they just don't worry about anything. They just go, oh, that's okay. Hey, see you at Tim Hortons. The United States ranks 46th with 78.14 years. So if you don't make it to 78 years, you're not even trying. That means I got what? 10 years left? Wow. I plan on going much further than that. I hate myself for loving you, Joan Jett. On this day in 1979 that the New York Post reported that Anita Pallenberg, then wife of Keith Richards, was linked to a witch's coven in South Salem, New York, where Keith owned a house. A policeman claimed he was attacked by a flock of black hooded caped people, and a local youth claimed he had been invited by Pallenberg to take part in pot-smoking sex orgies, which is the name of their new album, I think, Pot Smoking Sex Orgies. Local also claimed they found ritualistic stakes and small animals that had been sacrificed near the house. Those covens, not gone, those covens. I'd stay away from that, okay? Creepy. And I don't mind creepy, but that's creepy, creepy. Well, if you think you want to join Anita's cult, by the way, Anita's biggest role was, of course, the Black Queen in Barbarella. And then she married into the Keith Richards world. I wonder if Anita is still like that at age 72. What's going on with her? Probably the coven is now knitting. Probably knitting little booties and stuff. Or maybe not.
This is the Planet Rock Podcast with Skytalk. Choose from a range of Skytalk packs, which include free calls to UK mobiles.
The best backstage action from the Ramblin' Man Fair.
Planet Rock.
Bringing the proceedings to a close, our good buddies, Blackstone Cherry John and John Fred. How
are you? What's up?
Good, man.
Thanks for having us.
Welcome home.
Yeah, yes, thank you. This we can always say a day, but, you know.
This is your spiritual home. I mean, let's be honest. 10 years ago when you first came over and you were playing to those small clubs, handful of people, as we say, John Fred, every time it's built and built and built to the arena act now, the headline act. I mean, you've headlined Download twice and you're about to headline Ramblin' Man Fair. Doesn't get much better, does it?
Man, I tell you, it's pretty incredible what we've done. And seeing, you know, time pass and things and seeing people you've known for years and years, like you, obviously, and everybody out here today, it's nice to know that people still love what we're doing and the music that we're making and the relationships that, you know, we're creating. Today's going to be great for us because this is the first festival we've actually truly headlined as a full headliner. Like you said, you know, obviously we've done stuff in the past, you know, with Download, and we've headlined second stages, and that's been terrific. But I think today will be really special because obviously, you know, this is our first headline, and with the Headhunters being here, that's going to be terrific. Never done those cats. This is the first English tour that they've ever done, and I think they
It was very Twilight Zone walking into the dressing room area and seeing all the headhunter dudes sitting around like, we're in England, you're not supposed to be here.
So it's really cool, and I think this is their fifth show in a row. I think you went and saw them the other night, and yeah, it's really cool. It's neat for us to be able to be in America and be doing the touring that we're doing over there with the Hailstorm and Shinedown guys, and then get a chance to break and come over here, like you said, and come home, you know, for a minute. And it's really hard to believe that we're still, you know, just kicking ass and doing the magnificent things we are. And we're very humble and appreciative of it.
For those people that aren't familiar with the story, the backstory is that without Kentucky Headhunters, your dad in the band, there wouldn't be Blackstone Cherry. I mean, you used their rehearsal space in the early days
That's
as
right.
well.
Yeah.
They got involved with the production and the writing early days as well. So it really is coming
Our
full
mentors.
Circle now.
Yeah, oh, yes. absolutely.
Yeah, because back then, you know, we were just kids. We were wet behind the ears. We didn't have a clue what we were doing. And John Frank's dad kind of guided us and showed us, okay, don't step there. You're going to be in trouble if you do that. And he kind of
a lot about the business.
Yeah, he taught us so much about contracts and about how the business works, and he helped us as songwriters and composers and all that. He's just been a great influence on us since day one, you know, so it's great to be able to see them over here now.
My uncle taught me basically how to play drums, you know, and it's a very cool family day, especially too, the Cadillac 3 are here, great buddies of ours, and, you know, Airborne, The Answer. I mean, there's tons of great bands here, so we're really looking forward to playing today.
Danny Bowes, Life and Rock.
When at last the work is done, rounds it down, it's time to dig another one. How you live and how you fly, but only if you ride the tide. Balanced on the biggest wave, race towards an early grave.
It's funny, I can still remember the first time I heard that. Got it home, bought it because of the cover. Completely because of the cover. Just thought, I don't know what it is, but I like it. I took it home, put it on, blew me away. Completely blew me away. And I can remember exactly what the bedroom looked like, what was going on with the weather, everything. It's bizarre, isn't it? How you can kind of just capture that moment and everything that happened on the time you first heard that music. So let's move on now. This is Keith Tracy in Birmingham, who sent me a Pocket Money pick. Thank you, Keith. The album is Gary Moore, Corridors of Power, and a favourite song on the album is Don't Take Me for a Fool. And his story goes like this. When I left school in 1980, I ditched my uni place and got a job for 2.5 years in a warehouse unloading lorries stuffed with bamboo from China. Nice. Every Friday, we queued at the accounts office and were handed a little brown envelope with our wages in it. Real cash to spend. I'd get a train home and walk from the station to where my mum and dad lived. And on the way, I would pass Rounder Records. And every Friday, I bought an album. Wow. That was 50 albums in a year. They were closed between Christmas and New Year. Thanks for that, because if you hadn't have said, I would have asked why. Okay, one of the albums were Gary Moore's Corridors of Power. I was a big fan, having seen him with Thin Lizzy. I put the album on, played both sides, and then I thought, ho-hum, a bit average. Put it back in the sleeve and into my collection, and I forgot all about it for a couple of months. Now, see, I understand this, because if you buy an album every week, you're kind of waiting for one to blow your hair back, aren't you? And if it doesn't blow your hair back immediately, you have a tendency to just kind of put it in the pile and then forget all about it. Until later, when you come back to it and you put it on, and then you realise you're listening to it on a level playing field as opposed to waiting for it to blow your hair back. And then you realise that isn't not necessarily a bad album, it's just not the album that blew your hair back that week. So, I digress. Back to Keith's letter. One evening, he says, I dug it out and played it again. This time, it didn't leave my turntable for several weeks. Aha, see? Exactly what I said. As I played it to death, and I still do to this very day, I saw him at the Hammersmith Odeon, and with a great rhythm section of Ian Pace and Neil Murray. He's a top guitarist and sadly missed. Look at that. See? Exactly my case in point. I do wonder if people still buy records every week now. Do you wonder? I wonder. Anyway, all right, this is it. This is Gary Moore for you. Keith, this is it. Don't take me for a loser.
Those days have gone, and it's time you go home. 'Cause this
Right then, let's move on. I've got a listener email here from Keith Benson from Blackpool. He says, morning, Danny. Always look forward to hearing your show. Most kind. Most kind, Keith. Here's a question for you. Will Thunder be playing any Christmas gigs this year? I was lucky enough to see you in Manchester a couple of years ago. Well, the answer, Keith, is no. Not this year. Unfortunately, we are very much in the thick of working on the new album, which will be released early next year, along with the tour to go with it. And we're hoping that we'll have all of those details nailed in the near future, and we'll be announcing it all. Once we do, then that won't really allow for a Christmas show. But, you know, never say never. It's not a case of we won't do one. It's a case of when we can do one. So stand by. We will be announcing as soon as we can. Now, Keith, you also say, last time I saw you at Christmas, you played Isn't It Time by the Babies. Is there any chance of you playing that again today? Great show. Keep up the good work. Well, Keith, you're in luck. Here it is. This is the Babies. Isn't It Time?
If it rocks, it's here. Planet Rock. Planet Rock. Planet
Rock. Planet Rock. It's my Planet Rocks on Planet Rock. My guest this week is a man with too many credentials to list in two sentences. Carmine Appice, welcome.
Thank you, thank you. Good to be here. I haven't been here in a while.
So we're going back to the beginning, or pretty close to the beginning. Obviously, growing up in, well, effectively the 50s. Was it the 50s where you got into drums, or decided you wanted to be a drummer?
It was probably 60, 61. I was like 11, 12. Well, how old was I then? Yeah, it probably was the 50s. Now you think I was 11, so it must have been 57, 58.
So that's pretty much the same era, give or take a couple of years, the birth of rock and roll, which was around 55. So yeah. Unlike most people after you who would have been influenced by a John Bonham,
right,
or an Ian Paice, right, or a Neil Peart, you didn't have that. So who inspired?
No, they were influenced by me, actually.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You predate all of these. So
I was influenced mostly by Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich, the jazz guys. But I was also influenced by a show I went to see with my mother. It was an Alan Freed rock and roll show with all the old guys like Bo Diddley and Chuck Berry, Frankie Lyman and the Teenagers. We're talking about the birth of rock and roll. That really impressed me because they had like a fairly good-sized band. You know, in those days, they were still using horns in rock and roll. And they had two drummers. Yeah, there weren't great miking systems then, but the drums were so powerful off the stage, it really left an impression on me, you know? So between that and the Gene Krupa, Buddy Rich, and the jazz guys, that was my influences.
When did rock come into your horizon? Because I would guess even the early mid-60s, you had Ringo Starr, Charlie Watts, but then there was no big players around
really
at that
rock,
point.
It was more soul. Growing up, after the Gene Krupa and Buddy Rich, I used to play the jazz stuff when I practiced. But when I started playing rock, Sandy Nelson had a hit song called Teen Beat, Let There Be Drums. They were drum singles. Another guy named Cozy Cole had a drum single. Then he had Wipeout, you know. And these were like drum songs. So I learned all of those. I learned to play those. And then gradually I got into more R&B, James Brown, Motown, and I started emulating those drummers. And then I was old enough to start playing gigs, and I played all kinds of music. I played rock gigs, and you know, playing a rock dance, for instance, the repertoire would be At the Hop by Danny and the Juniors, and then we'd go to Twist and Shout by the Isley Brothers, and to Do You Love Me by the Contours, and then you'd play something by maybe the Supremes or the Temptations. So it was like varied. We used to be called hard rock, all the bands: Black Sabbath, Led Zeppelin, Deep Purple, Cactus, Vanilla Fudge. It was all hard rock. And then it was this whole era in the 80s, everybody was heavy metal. And Black Sabbath were the beginnings of heavy metal. But meanwhile, we played one of the first gigs in America with Black Sabbath. I was with Cactus. We had the same big amps that they had. We played probably louder or harder than they did, but yet their label would be in the first heavy metal band.
Probably the oldest track that you've chosen, and for many, with the individual components, so influential, The Beatles, A Day in the Life. Did Ringo Starr do anything for you as a drummer?
Not until the era of, like, Revolver. Up until then, yeah, they were like a pop idol band. I thought they sucked, you know. But when that Revolver album came out, I said, wow. I started looking at Ringo as a creative force rather than just a guy that sat up there and shook his head and played.
With a smile. Played,
yeah, you know. Because some of the drum bits on Revolver was awesome.
Mm.
And backwards drums and really creative, good stuff. And then I realized he wasn't just playing drums, he was creating drum parts for the songs, melodic kind of drum parts.
Well, that's all for this episode of the Planet Rock Podcast with Sky Talk. Hope you've enjoyed listening. Please do join us next week for more Planet Rock highlights. Remember, you can listen to Planet Rock via your DAB radio, online at planetrock.com and via our Planet Rock app, or you can listen on your telly on Sky Channel 0110 or Virgin Channel 924. And don't forget, you can listen to me every weekday morning on Planet Rock Breakfast. See ya.
All the best bits of Planet Rock in our weekly podcast with Sky Talk. Love to rub it on for hours? Search Sky Talk now to find a pack to suit you.